The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I saw a pale horse.
The beast.
We're told in the book of Revelation.
This is not a human child.
Isn't an angel?
Satan. Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
From one end of the world to the other, I will oppose you.
They're here.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
From the beautiful Missouri Ozarks, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, and we are so glad you've joined us in our humble fall kind of bunker.
The leaves are just past peak here in Missouri, in
and
the Ozarks.
Many of them are now on the ground.
Yeah. It's just the last couple of days, though. So a little later than what we're used to. I mean, I'm used to seeing things about the second week of October turning
just
and, yeah, and kablooey. But here
and they make that noise.
It's, which is frightening.
Yeah, it really is.
Well, thank you for joining us. Today is November the 8th of 2015. And
The year's just moving right along.
It really is. It really is. There was a period there earlier this year where we thought things were just dragging. Mm-hmm. And that was the period of time where we were waiting for loan approval. You know, in retrospect, it really did happen lickety split. It was really fast.
Very, very quickly. So we're most grateful to the Lord for that.
Amen to that. We are so thankful.
Amen to that. You know what? I have been listing every day that I can remember to do it, the things I'm thankful for in November. And I just am so grateful for you. So thankful for you. And thankful to every one of our listeners on PID Radio, our viewers at Skywatch TV,
right. Our
listeners to VFTB, to the Gilbert House Fellowship. The Lord has multiplied our joy over and over because of you guys.
Amen to that. It is, I got an email the other day, a note of encouragement from somebody who had said that they had wanted to donate to Skywatch TV,
mm-hmm.
Just financially wasn't able to do it just right now, but really appreciated what we were doing. And I just sent back a note and said, you know, it's really that kind of note that is really what lifts us up.
Very much so. And I know you replied that as much as we were, you know, very appreciative of the offer of financial aid. The truth is the Lord has blessed you and me so much since we've been here.
Right.
The job that we have, you know, through Skywatch TV and just people who are donating all the time, regularly. We don't get tons of money in here, but you know what? We don't need it. So we do know that there are other ministries that are in sore need for your help. So if you're, you know, if you've been thinking about donating to PID Radio and you're hearing this and thinking, well, is there another ministry that is worthy? If you need to know some names, we're happy to give you the
exactly,
names.
Exactly. Exactly.
Send us a note.
Yeah. And we've done that because, again, the Lord has blessed us to the point where, we don't need to solicit for funds.
No, and we've you've helped us a lot. We've been able to buy some wonderful new equipment.
Well,
lately.
It was, you know, to be perfectly honest, it was through the very generous donation of a couple of listeners that made it possible for us
for
us to move.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, really, really nice donations.
Yes.
So you guys have been very good to us. And you know what? All we ask is that we can pay the bills. That's it.
Amen.
And we're paying them. So we're happy.
So anyway, as we're trying to keep these to a shorter, you know, bite-sized chunk, PID Radio. Of course, Gilbert time tends to run like 1.5 to 2 times normal, but we'll try to rein
Sam wants
in.
To know if this is old time or new time.
He was really confused.
He's not having a good time on this fallback thing, having to go, you know, to a different time stream.
Yes.
He says that as far as he's concerned, if we're eating inside the TARDIS, it's all the same time, and he should always get to eat at the same time.
Exactly.
In fact, always get to eat.
Yeah, that's the way the dachshunds are like guys in the military. They move on their stomachs.
Yeah.
It's at 4 o'clock now. He starts staring. He runs with German precision, knows exactly what time the meal is supposed to be served.
He does indeed. You know, speaking of the TARDIS, there are some wonderful shows with Peter Capaldi's version of the Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
If you have not watched the rebooted Doctor Who that started in 2005, you're missing out on some really interesting television and some great acting. Yes, there are some memes in there that the BBC puts out there, you know, that honestly, it's typical, you know, liberal television.
Secular.
It really is, but I watched a rerun of a show from the David Tennant years the other day that it was the second of the season ender, the second part of the season ender with the Master.
Oh,
where he took over the earth. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where he took over the earth. And it really made me think about scripture. And we may have mentioned this before. So forgive me if I'm repeating. I'm old. What's my name again? But it was all about the entire world being of one mind,
yes,
and one language, using 15 satellites put up there by the Master so that he could essentially mesmerize everybody, hypnotize mm-hmm. everybody into following him.
Yeah.
Him without question. This entire world at the same moment in time said the same thing, Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And it caused him to go from this super impotent sort of aged being,
shriveled,
a little shriveled up thing in a cage,
mm-hmm.
to young again, and essentially recreated him, because all of his years, all of his regeneration had been stolen.
Yeah.
So for the very fact for him not to have died was, in Time Lord rules, amazing. But it's this idea that the Lord himself said that humanity, if we have the same language and are all of one mind,
mm-hmm.
we can do anything. Now, I'm not telling you that for New Age reasons.
No.
I'm saying that's why he stopped Babel, the
right.
tower that was being built. The things that the fallen world wanted to do were opening a portal.
Exactly. And as we discussed with the transhumanism movement, if you have unregenerate hearts suddenly gifted with eternal life, you essentially have the recipe for hell.
You do. And if everybody is connected via a Wi-Fi interface, which is what Ray Kurzweil would love to see happen.
Exactly, yeah.
And he's even said we'd be essentially gods. If everyone were communing the same language via mm-hmm. our telepathic field,
you
know, we could open that gateway.
But God would probably stop it again,
as he's
done before.
Well, he will, but there's going to come a point where he's going to allow it. He's actually going to send us the key.
Right. Okay. You want hell on earth? You got it.
Here's the key. Yeah, open it up.
Abaddon, come on.
Yeah. And what that key is may not physically be a key. It may be the way to do it. He may give us a technology that allows us to do it. I honestly don't know how that's going to play out.
Right.
But I do know that this idea of uploading our mind, our consciousness, that's a dangerous direction that we're going into. And I'm so glad that you and I have gotten to be part of the documentary that's coming out soon called Inhuman, which is looking at this technology. And it's the very kind of thing we saw in the Doctor Who episode.
Exactly right. And if you think this is fringe in the world today, I mean, in real life now, not Doctor Who universe, but it may be, as far as the rank and file, as far as us lay people who aren't actually involved in neural network research or artificial intelligence research. But Kurzweil's partner in Singularity University, Peter Diamandis, who is he's got a medical degree from Harvard Medical, and he's got a degree in aerospace engineering from MIT. So, you know, this guy is almost as close as you'll ever find to somebody who's a brain surgeon and a rocket scientist. But, you know, Peter Diamandis, he's the chairman and founder of the X Prize, which gives out cash prizes to technological innovation. He believes, and he has said publicly, that humanity's destiny is to become part of a global meta-intelligence. We are to become one. And this is hand in glove with...
Sam says, I have heard this before.
Yeah, this is hand in glove with the teachings at gatherings like the Parliament of World Religions that Carl Tikrib was recently at, in which you've got all of these various world religions, everything from Hindus and Buddhists and Jains to Jews and Muslims. In fact, the imam from the Grand Mosque, I think I mentioned this earlier, all together in Salt Lake City for that Parliament of World Religions. But the goal, again, is... One-ism, it's this idea, and Chris Putnam writes about this in The Supernatural Worldview, this idea that humanity's destiny is to become as one. And the transhumanists are approaching it, but just from a technological point of view, it is the omega point that Father Pierre Teilhard de Chardin mm-hmm. was talking about. You take his spiritual or mystic omega point, where we all become one with the universe, the cosmic Christ, if you will. Give it a sci-fi veneer, and you've got Ray Kurzweil's technological singularity.
I wish it were sci-fi, but it is not. It is not. In fact, there was a story at The Guardian. You know, the mainstream media is starting to pick up on this. If you read the Huffington Post, which most of you probably are throwing up right now thinking about that, because it's very liberal. But if you ever do, I try to read everything. If you read the Huffington Post, you'll see lots and lots of stories there about transhumanism, and many of them are written by Zoltan Istvan.
Right. He writes a column for them.
Exactly. Now, there's a story at The Guardian from yesterday that is literally, this is the title of it. Artificial intelligence, Homo sapiens will be split into a handful of gods and the rest of us. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly where it's going.
Right.
You know, we are going to be replaced initially by robots doing our jobs. And then those of us who don't have jobs, suddenly it's going to be look, either upgrade or get out.
Yeah.
Because you're in the way now and you're a useless eater.
That's one of the points made in the documentary Inhuman. That this, and it's a point that I made in the presentation I gave on this topic at both in Orlando and at Colorado Springs last year. It will widen the divide between the haves and the have-nots.
Yes.
Because the only ones who can afford to get these upgrades that make you smarter, healthier, better looking, and live longer are the people who have a lot of money. This is not something that, for all of the noble ideals and goals of many in the transhumanist movement mm-hmm. who want to see this as a universal benefit mm-hmm. that all should benefit from this new technology that will make humanity live longer and be happier and so on and so forth. The reality is, I mean, if we've learned nothing from 6,000 years of recorded history, is that them what has gets
mm-hmm.
and them with the gold makes the rules. Those in power tend to consolidate power. They want to keep it to themselves. They don't want us, hoi polloi, suddenly upgrading and outperforming their kids in business and in academics and in athletics. It's going to further widen the gap between those who have and those who have not. In fact, in Zoltan Istvan's Transhumanist Wager, there were some of the have-nots who were applying to this little group that had figured out the secret of technological immortality and were being told, no, I'm sorry, you don't meet the standard. You're an unwed mother with five children by four different fathers? No. In fact, we should do you a favor and send you a rope. Now, Zoltan says that was just a literary device, outlining
the extreme
position.
He was trying to show
the
extreme. Yes, exactly.
Right. But there is a belief, and Zoltan has publicly in one of his columns that was published at Wired,
mm-hmm.
called for restrictions on human breeding.
Well, that's not uncommon at all. We've seen that for a long time, and you and I have also been saying that the new transhumanism movement is in many ways a rebranded eugenics.
It's a reboot of eugenics. Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah,
eugenics got a bad rap after World War II, and so.
And I know that Derek and I are coming at this as born again believers, and there are lots of folks out there who have ministries that probably think we talk about this kind of stuff too much, but everybody within ministry is called to a certain, okay, I want you to do this job. And honestly, we feel that our job is to stand on the wall, so to speak, mm-hmm. and see what's coming at us. That rather than have the church being blindsided by it, because most people within the church, the body of Christ, we're busy raising our kids and we're trying to, help grandkids, and we're trying to figure out how we're going to put them, a meal on the table this evening and how we're going to make that car payment. There are lots of things to occupy your mind.
The presidential election coming up. You've got the spread of radical Islam through the Middle East. In fact, when I talked to the class in global technology at Eastern Illinois, months ago, just before we moved, one of the students asked about that. And look, we got the Islamic State cutting off the heads of Christians in the Middle East. Why should we even care about the transhumanist movement?
Because this will sneak up on you, and suddenly it will be something you're going to go, where'd that come from?
Yeah, there have always been those who wanted to cut the heads off of Christians.
Yes.
Yeah, but this transhumanist movement is redefining, fundamentally wants to redefine what it means to be human.
Yeah.
So
does that mean that we have to be, you know, scared of it? No.
No.
Does that mean that we have to, you know, go run terrified off into the woods? No, it doesn't mean that at all. We are just saying, look what's coming.
Yeah.
Be wise when these things are, you know, when you're being approached about this little change in your life. Ask yourself, is this another step toward an end goal of changing what it means to be a human being?
Right. Our kids are, as I've said before, coming out of the cradle with an iPod or iPad or, you know, smartphone in their hands, and they see the miracle of technology every single day.
Yeah.
Most of them, most of their parents, most of their grandparents have never read the Bible, don't really understand why the words in the Bible can be trusted as true and accurately preserved over the centuries. What are they going to trust for their salvation? Yeah, I want to live forever, but I think it's probably going to be, you know, through a silicon chip and an upload. No, we're all going to live forever already.
Yeah.
And that's been promised to us in the words of the Bible.
Amen to that.
But again, most people don't know why it's true, and thus our children and our grandchildren having to choose between a book their parents obviously don't pay much attention to or what they're seeing in their handhelds every day are going to trust the technology.
That is the truth. So. Well, lots of things going on geopolitically in the world, and you talk about this just about every day mm-hmm. on your updates at Skywatch. And I know that you've interviewed lots and lots of folks who have opinions. In fact, you just recently talked with Cliff Garner and sorry, can't think of the other
GK.
Gentleman's name. Yeah, Chesterton? No, not G.K. Chesterton. But you talked to a couple of people who were discussing things that are taking place in Turkey.
Yeah. Cliff has lived in Turkey for several years, and I've talked with him a couple of times because he's a very sharp observer of the political scene. And when he was in Turkey, he could see up close what President Erdogan was trying to accomplish. The situation in the Middle East right now is really...
you need a program.
Yeah, it seems incomprehensible because what our leaders are telling us they're trying to accomplish is clearly not what they're trying to accomplish. The United States is backing the rebels that are being bombed by Turkey and the Russians and the Syrians. We have allegedly been bombing ISIS for the past year, and yet we've made no impact whatsoever on their ability to fight.
In fact, a story just came out a few days ago looking at the lack of bombing runs that the United States participated in mm-hmm. in the month of October.
Right.
And the reason given by the administration is that the weather just wasn't very good.
Yeah, it didn't seem to slow the Russians down.
It did not slow the Russians down. Now, yeah. The word is that in late September, I think it was, a representative from the Russian government went into an office.
Our embassy in Baghdad.
In Baghdad and said, we're bombing beginning in 1 hour.
Don't get in our way.
Yeah, essentially. So
yeah.
No time window, no in 60 minutes, you can't go and warn the many factions that you are supporting on the ground.
Exactly right.
Which was the idea.
Yeah. The situation over there is really bizarre. Now, Russia has backed the Syrian government for quite a long time.
Oh, yeah. They've had a treaty in place with Assad, and Assad has a treaty with Iran, and Iran has a treaty with Russia.
Right. Now, we talked before about the possibility that all of this happening in Syria is because Assad did not want to play ball with Saudi Arabia and Qatar and run a natural gas pipeline from the west side of the Persian Gulf through Jordan into Syria and then on into Europe, which would have cut into Russia's market share of the European market.
Piece of the action.
Right. Assad instead signed a memorandum of understanding with the government in Baghdad, the Iraqis, and Iran to run a pipeline from the same natural gas field, except that Iran would have been taking it out of the east side of the Persian Gulf and then running it through Iraq onto Syria. And then, okay, it was not long after that. I mean, that was in 2009. 2011 is when the uprising began in Syria. But interesting, a political commentator in Israel was quoted by The Australian, a newspaper out of Sydney, just a couple of weeks ago, as saying that Benjamin Netanyahu and Vladimir Putin have apparently reached some sort of understanding for Gazprom, which is the state-backed gas industry mm-hmm. and oil industry in Russia, for Gazprom to get a piece of the action of the huge Leviathan gas field that Israel is trying to develop in the Mediterranean.
Yes.
That field is, 40% owned by Noble Energy, which is a big energy company in Texas. A company called Woodside out of Australia, and this is why the Australians were paying attention. Woodside was originally partnered with Noble in this project, but in 2013, 2014, last year, they backed out. So now Gazprom is back, and apparently, according to this analyst for Channel 2 in Israel, quoted in the Australian, Vlad basically said, look, BB, it would be a real shame if Hezbollah would should happen to blow up one of these rigs as you're trying to develop it. We could guarantee that nothing would ever happen to this. So it's possible that Gazprom gets a piece of the action from the Leviathan field, which then might mean that Russia would be willing to throw the Iranians under the bus.
Maybe.
In exchange for this deal with Israel. So this is really getting interesting to see what's
Everything
going on.
Everything I learned about geopolitics, I learned watching The Godfather.
Exactly, yes. So we're kind of watching to see how this goes, because it runs counter to what we interpret.
Yeah.
I mean, because if this is true and Russia suddenly has a financial stake in the health and well-being of the Israeli state, the Jewish state.
Yes.
Then what does that do to our interpretation of Russia as the land of Magog?
Well, very much so. And the last few days, there have been a number of resignations, high-level resignations in Israel that sort of paved the way for this to take place.
Yeah. It's been tied up in court because of environmentalists filing lawsuits and so forth. But there are two fields in the Mediterranean. One is called Leviathan. The other is called Tamar. And Israel could produce quite, I've seen estimates in the trillions of cubic feet of natural gas. Now,
and they stand to make billions and billions of dollars.
Right. Not to mention making Israel independent for its energy.
Precisely.
That plus the oil strike in the Golan Heights.
Yes, yes. So a lot of things are taking place that I think my pastor when I was a kid would have been saying, yep, here we go.
Yeah, the interesting thing, I need to reread that book several years ago. You remember Sam Batterman?
Yes, very much. Yeah,
author wrote a book, a really interesting book called Way Back, about inventing a time machine and going back and seeing Noah building the ark. But also, he wrote another book called Maximal Reserve. That was his second novel about Israel hitting a massive oil strike and suddenly turning the energy situation in the Middle East on its head.
And the last time I spoke with Sam Batterman, I believe he told me that he's not writing right now, which I really hope changes, because he's a great writer.
He really is. Both of those novels were very, very well written, but I need to go back and look at Maximal Reserve again, because this was several years ago and Sam was onto something there.
If
you really want just a good science fiction novel with a Christian perspective, and of course it's speculative fiction, Way Back is really interesting.
Yep. So, speaking of Russia, one of the founding members, one of the founders of Russia Today, RT, was found dead in Washington, D.C. last Thursday.
Oh.
His name is Mikhail Azin, and he was supposedly dead of a heart attack.
Yeah, that's how they all die.
Yeah, well, your heart stops.
Plus, he fell down onto some bullets.
Well, he's been associated with Vladimir Putin as being one of his inside guys.
Mm-hmm.
He was Putin's press secretary for a while. He, as I said, started Russia Today, which in many ways is the mouthpiece of the Russian government.
Yeah, it's interesting to watch RT it's in our satellite system, so it's interesting to watch it from time to time just to get an idea of what spin the Russians are putting on the news.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, keep an eye on this story, and we'll see if any more comes out. And I'm sure that there's going to be a long-term investigation, because when a Russian billionaire dies on the American soil, Russia may want to have an investigation of their own. It's
exactly.
hard to say. And of course, Russia is continuing to investigate the downing of one of their airliners in the Sinai Peninsula. And Britain came out today with a story saying that not only are they pretty sure that it was a bomb, because they heard the sound of an explosion on the black box recording, but they also heard, and they're not saying how, GCHQ said, we heard British voices laughing. And celebrating.
Oh, British terrorists.
So how did they hear it? Probably listening through cell phones.
Well, yeah, yeah. And we'll say again, we've been watching Person of Interest recently. WGN America runs
two nights. The Godfather, it's on POI.
But it's interesting because that gives you a look at what might be possible, if it's not already, in terms of the total surveillance state. But speaking of Russia, just to continue with the Russian theme here, it was revealed this week that in 2011, the Pentagon was tipped off by a longtime Army contractor that U.S. military communication systems were employing software that was written by Russian software engineers, Russian coders.
Oh, yeah. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
That's a bad idea.
Which led to a four-year investigation that ended last week with a multi-million dollar fine against the two firms that supplied the program to the U.S. military. The contractor tipped off the Pentagon in, about a year after he was appointed to run one of these companies. He said the software that they wrote made it possible for the Pentagon's communication systems to be infected with viruses.
Oh.
Yeah. Apparently, the contractor that this guy was working for, or basically set to run, in order to improve their profit margin, decided to hire Russian programmers because they work for one-third the rate that competent American programmers run or work for. But,
you know, you again, would think that there would be better oversight of that. You know, having someone write code for our operations, you'd think that there want to be some assurance that it was cyber secure.
Well, you would think so. But instead, this Russian code, which allowed malware and viruses to be installed in the network for the Defense Information Systems Agency. It's astounding that this somehow managed to get through whatever system of checks and balances the Pentagon has in place for suppliers.
But, yeah. You remember the recent quote by, I think it's the gal who's the head of IARPA. She said, "We patch and pray."
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, they were tipped off by this gentleman who told an official inside the Pentagon in 2011 that Russians had been doing computer programming for a company called Netcracker Technology Corporation. And the work had been done in Moscow and elsewhere in Russia. And so, the DISA network infected because the Pentagon allowed a contractor, or a contractor somehow managed to sneak this code past the Pentagon watchdogs, but Russian code running sensitive networks inside the Pentagon.
Well, you know, our government is, they're in the business of using code a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not talking about cyber, you know, trying to cryptographize something. It's not even a word, Karen.
That is a good one, though. Cyber cryptographize. I'm going to save that cyber...
Pending. they are in the business of hiring companies to provide the authorization that you are you when mm-hmm. you work for the government, and now they're going to not only use biometrics, but they're also going to use the way we type. I don't know if we talked about that.
We did, yeah,
on a PID radio. But there are lots of things.
I guess we talked about it Friday on Sci Friday.
You know, there are. Virtual footprints that are being left, little breadcrumbs that we leave every day all over the internet. Mm-hmm. Every time you go to a news site, it's installing a cookie on your laptop. If every time you go on your phone, it's probably installing a little cookie of some kind there. We're just little, it's Hansel and Gretel all over the place. They mm-hmm. are leaving cookies all over my house. No wonder my house never stays clean. But that's the way it's going. The fact is that we have no privacy.
That's right.
It's gone.
Yeah. Anything you do on the internet, you might as well staple to your next resume. Just assume that it's going to be found out.
Yeah.
And, behave accordingly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, scientists are looking at that alien megastructure out there in, 1,500 light years away. That's the Kepler Space Telescope star that was...
Mm-hmm.
KIC 8462852. It almost sounds like a 1980s pop song.
It does.
KIC. Anyway, the guys at SETI, which is the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, is using a radio telescope array, the Allen Telescope Array, 42 antennas located around San Francisco, to see if they can determine whether there are any radio signals coming from this star.
And they're picking up 1960s hits.
Yeah, which is amazing, because that means they beat the 1960s. They had the 1960s there 1,500 years ago.
Yeah.
By the way, this star KIC 8462852 is informally known as Tabby's Star.
Tabby.
Not sure why, but Tabby's Star is a little easier to remember than KIC 8462852.
That's true.
But anyway, no noise.
Space
there
modulator.
Yet. Yes. but we should know for sure from SETI by the end of November whether they're going to find any signals there. So.
Well, woe to you if you live in the state of California, because a study just came out naming the top 20 small towns, small cities in the United States, and they're in a variety of Midwestern towns, Midwestern states.
Yes.
The worst, the bottom 20 cities are all in California.
And this is in terms of...
I guess, you know, what you can get for your dollar, you know, the overall economy, the overall, I don't know.
Yeah.
What can you get at Walmart? Don't ask me. Hey, but they had, you know, a dozen or so criteria that this polling agency, you know, who knows why they do it. But, of course, that was in the news a few days ago. But in California, you are also dealing with, if you live in the LAX area, you are probably dealing with a little bit of extra plane noise over your house, because the planes going into LAX have been rerouted. They no longer can come in the less noisy way.
Which is coming in from the ocean, the direction of the ocean.
Yeah, right. Where it's not flying over your house.
Right.
There is a quote-unquote mystery exercise taking place.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Secret military exercise. So the planes,
super secret,
instead of coming in from the ocean, are coming in over... coming in over the houses.
Yeah.
The military says this... will last for how long? About a week.
And in the meantime, there was a missile that screamed over Southern California.
Yeah, the reports were coming in from San Diego all the way up to
San Francisco.
And it was apparently a test of a Trident II missile, which was launched from a submarine, the USS Kentucky.
It was a blank, but Kentucky was firing at California.
And so rightly so.
And that sums up that little survey right there.
Well, all we can say about that is come out of her, my people. Come to the Midwest. We're happy to have you here.
Absolutely. Well, there is another story that I briefly want to mention, and that is this meme that's being out there that we are looking at dire days. You know, we, as believers in Christ and as believers in the Word of God, we read prophecy, and we understand that we are moving toward an end game in this long supernatural war that's been taking place. And this end game scenario is going to lead to 7 years that at least 3.5 of those are going to be really bad. Mm-hmm. The first 3.5 may not be as bad, but the back half, that's really bad. Well, there's a story that's been out there for the, you know, off and on for the last few years, and now it's being repeated again, that the Earth's magnetic poles are switching. This story is at the Express out of the UK, and the title, the title is, according to a study, Earth's magnetic poles are switching with catastrophic consequences for humanity. Mm-hmm. And this talks about how it's really poor science, because whoever wrote this seems to think that somehow the Earth will literally flip and the sun will rise in the west. No, that isn't what the magnetic pole switching means. In fact, the magnetic poles in the sun switch every 22 years or something like that.
Something like that,
That's why we have these solar minimums and maximums. Mm-hmm. And the Earth's magnetic poles, they've been weakening over the last, since you and I have been doing this, for the last 11 years.
And they've been moving, too. The pole in the North Pole, magnetic north, has been moving at the rate of, what, about a mile a year?
Yeah, and in fact, there was a documentary I watched not long ago that was interviewing a number of Inuits who have traditionally said that you could look to a certain direction and know that that's where the sun was going to come up, and that's where, they always knew that birds are going to fly a certain pattern and this and that. And they said everything is changing up there, and they believe that a lot of it has to do with the poles moving. And over the last, you know, dozen or so years, we've seen many stories about flocks of birds and migrating animals in the seas who seem to be out of sync with where they're supposed to be. And this could be because the poles are weakening. In fact, this story talks about how in the Southern Hemisphere, here in the Americas, that there's a particular area that seems to be switching. And this, I guess the science behind this is starting to understand it a little bit better. And it gets into the idea of actual small areas that switch there. And I'm trying to find the actual description here of the actual elements within the Earth themselves that switch their polarity.
Mm.
So this brings us back to Doctor Who.
Yes, because reversing the polarity is how they always
gets out of things. So
yeah.
So you know, all we have to do is reverse the polarity, and we'll be fine.
Yeah. The rate of travel on the North Pole, by the way, is faster than what I remembered. It is increasing from an average of 6 miles a year to 25 miles a year.
Woo, that's fast. Now, prophetically speaking, there is a scripture, and I think it's in Joel, but it talks about the earth reeling like a drunkard.
Isaiah.
Thank you very much. And that it will bow down. So this idea of the earth reeling like a drunkard and then bowing down, mm-hmm. that does seem to imply some major shift in the Earth's axis.
Yeah. Yeah. And in fact, it could also mean some really catastrophic earthquakes. Remember when we had the big Indonesia quake at the end of 2004?
Was
it end of four? Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Christmas Earth, Day of 2004. Boxing
26th. Yeah. The Earth actually wobbled a little bit.
And said it rung like a bell.
Rung like a bell.
Yeah.
Yeah. Over the past 200 years, Earth's magnetic field has weakened by 15%. And since Magnetic North was first located in 1831, not even 200 years ago, it has wandered more than 600 miles.
That's extraordinary.
Yeah. Yeah.
We need to, you know, like next send
gonna,
it a little note and say, come on home.
Next, they're going
to
tell us that the speed of light's not constant.
What? Oh, it's not?
What?
Well, yeah, it's always an interesting world. It's fascinating out there. And one of the reasons that we do Sci-Friday and really enjoy it, and I think one of the reasons we've gotten such good feedback is because it's a reminder that science is a way to better understand the creation that God has placed us in.
Amen to that.
It's not something we have to be afraid of.
No.
And where the secular science community, there is a large segment of it that believes you cannot be a Christian or religious of any sort, but especially not Christian, and be a scientist.
But that's not true. The very first ones were actual, you know, believers who were trying to understand God's creation.
Absolutely correct. So anyway, that's why we do what we do.
And the reason we watch Doctor Who, well, mainly because we like it.
Yeah.
All right.
And the show's been on television almost as long as I've been alive.
Boy, howdy.
Yeah.
Well, you're really old, honey.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Star Trek's going to be 50 years old next year. Star Trek. Different.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
We've been around for a long, long time.
We have been
time.
Serving mankind for more than half a century. Yes. Well, this week on Skywatch TV, it's part two of the discussion about the transhumanist movement, which, and we'll discuss some of the things that are in the documentary film Inhuman. So if you have an opportunity, you get satellite TV, you can watch Skywatch TV on Dish Network. That's channel 267, DirecTV channel 376.
Good memory.
Well, I say it often enough on the, actually on the program, but you can also watch it on the Christian Television Network's website, ctnonline.com. And of course, it'll be posted at Roku and
it's on YouTube.
YouTube channel later in the week. But Tuesday night, you'll get a chance. And always fun when you and I get to sit down with Tom Horn and just kind of talk. So people get to listen in. That'll be Tuesday night's program on Skywatch TV.
That's a lot of fun. And VFTB, that's the one this evening with Cliff Garner and... Is
no,
that the one?
That was yes. No, it's already posted. I've run out of guests.
Oh, honey.
But I've got some queries out there. Posted the interview with Carl Teichgraeb on Friday about the Parliament of World Religions. And that's really worth listening to because Carl.
It is indeed.
Yeah. Really good insight. So, but until next time, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDradio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com. Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. Content, copyright Gilbert House, and is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org.
Gonna step up to the microphone, say it loud and clear. A
better day is coming soon to get us out of here.
Yeah.